Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful, thankful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And as always, it is a great word. It's a good word. It's a great word. And I'm all giddied up, ready to go. I am grateful this morning that God woke me up. Hallelujah, clothed in my right mind with a pep in my step and the joy of the Lord in my heart. I am tired. I can say that. Yesterday, my granddaughter graduated from eighth grade and started high school. Yesterday was her first day of high school. She's going to summer school to get a leg up on her classes, and I'm so very proud of her. All the little, as they say, she was an honor student. She won awards, and she gave the speech class, and she did a fantastic job. So shout out to my grandbaby, KK, thanking God for her and her sister and brother. My grandson started his first day back in preschool, and he did really, really well. So I'm grateful to God for that as well. So please pray for my oldest, who is on her way back to Baltimore. She came for the weekend to stay with her sister and mom and brothers and all of us, and we had a great time. So shout out and many, many prayers for my baby who's flying back home today. So Father God in heaven, we are so grateful, thankful, and truly blessed to be called daughters and sons of God. Lord, I pray for this word to increase as I decrease. And Lord, I ask that this word touch hearts, minds, and all those that listen know that they are never alone, that you are always with us, Lord God, and that Jesus, our Savior, is always there, and that he will draw all men unto him. Lord God, I pray for traveling graces and mercies to cover my daughter and granddaughter as they travel to St. Louis to catch a plane, and my daughter bring her safely home as she drives back home. Watch over my grandchildren as they go to school today. And Lord God, I ask that you continue to watch over my church, my pastors, and those that are involved with the ministry. Keep them covered under the blood of Jesus, Lord God. And I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for this basic instruction before leaving earth, which you have given me enough to hear the word. Lord God, again, I ask you to increase as your word increases. But Lord God, you are my strength. You are my redeemer. You are my Father God. And I'm your humble daughter and servant. Thank you for this day, again, that you have made, Lord. I am rejoicing in it, knowing that you are with me wherever I go. For Lord God, I stand on your word, thanking you, praising you, and honoring you. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to God, who is the source of my strength. I couldn't do this without him, and I ask him to increase as I decrease, but there is none like our God. Sometimes we forget that God is in charge because, let's call it straight, men have a tendency, and I'm speaking the collective men, all of us are men in this word. We are all women, children. We are all, as Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men, not just physical men, but spiritual men. all of us. We're mankind. You know, so don't go getting all crazy acting on me. Because, you know, folks want to take what you say and pull it out of context. And what she was talking about, we should, that we all mean, no, we're mankind. So anyway, the word of God. God wants us to stand on his word. So many times we get caught up in the okey-doke of this world. We get caught up in he said, she said, they said, woo-woo said, instead of what God said. We want to do us. I'm going to do me. We can't do us. We got to do God. We got to trust God. We got to stand on his word. And we got to stay in our square. So many times we allow the enemy to push and shove us every which, and there we go, following the will of wind. We go, the wind blow this way, we follow. The wind blow that way, we follow. Instead of standing firm in our square, saying, I trust God, and for God I live, and for God I die. So many times you have folks that are falling after men and falling down, bowing to men. No man is more important than God. And when we know and understand that, we can't walk in fear, we walk in faith, knowing that God is with us wherever we go. I'm learning that. I'm not always there. I have fear I have fear just like everybody else. But then God gives me a nudge and says, what'd you say? What do you stand on? I'm like, I stand on, he said, then walk in faith. Have I said I would never leave you or forsake you? I will never leave you or forsake you, God. And then you get all teary-eyed because you know that God will not leave you. You know that he will not forsake you. You know that he will always be with you, even unto death. And when you stop and think and believe it, everything else will fall in place. So I'm thanking God for miracles, signs, and wonders in my life. I'm thanking God for his grace. And I'm thanking God for his mercy toward you, toward me, toward us, his creation. So let's get started, family. Because why? We got to go to work. So let's go to work, y'all. Let's work the word. And when we get to the King, to the New Testament word this morning, I will be coming out of King James for my King James readers. I know y'all's like, that new King James thing, it's good, but I do like my King James. So for my King James readers, I will be coming out of King James when we get to our New Testament word, which is coming out of John chapter 12, verses 27 through 50. So if you want to go and put that in your Bible and mark it for when we get to that word, please do. And we will be in King James for John chapter 12, verses 27 through 50. And, you know, as if you've grown up in the church, you know there's songs that we sing. And one of the songs is, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That is a word. That is a scripture. And that is the title of our lesson this morning. And it is coming out of John chapter 12. And so please definitely get your King James Bibles out and be ready to go with me when we get to that section of our word this morning. And again, John chapter 12, and we will be starting in verse 27. Okay, let's get started in our word. We are in 1 Kings chapter 13 through chapter 14, verse 31. Our psalm this morning will be Psalm chapter 69, verses 16 through 21. And our proverb this morning will be Proverb chapter 17, verses 23 and 24. And so we're going to get started. As we've been studying, we know that God split the kingdom in half. He gave Judah to Rehoboam, and he gave Israel to Jeroboam. And the reason being is because Solomon sinned. And his 1,000 women. I just call them 1,000 women. 700 wives, 300 concubines. He started building idols to their gods and worshiping. Because of that, God split the kingdom from out from under him because he didn't follow the word of God. Thou shalt have no other God before me. And also it was in, as we read in Deuteronomy, that thou shalt not marry the foreign women because they will cause you to sin. And that's what happened. He married a daughter. First he started with the daughter of one of the pharaohs. And then he just moved on to women from every nation surrounding him. He had more wives than you can, as they say, you can shake a stick at. And which understanding, he caused more confusion because he had a whole bunch of children too. And this one wants to be king and that one wants to be king. And it just goes on and on with confusion. So we got to be very careful who you yoke with, who you follow, what you do. Because the one thing is we must always follow God. I don't care what anybody tells you. When you follow God, everything else will fall into the Lord. Don't lean on your understanding. Trust in God. So let's get started. I've said this like 5 times, but God keeps putting more word in my mouth. So I'm like, okay, Lord, are we ready to start now? And we are ready to start now. And it says in the word of God in 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 1, and behold, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Then he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a child, Josiah by name, shall be born to the house of David, and on you he shall sacrifice the priest of the high places who burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burned on you. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Surely the altar shall split apart, ashes on it shall be poured out. So it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God who cried out against the altar in Bethel, that he stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, arrest him. Then his hand, which he stretched out toward him, withered so that he could not pull it back to himself. The altar also was split apart, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Then the king answered and said to the man of God, please entreat the favor of the Lord your God and pray for me that my hand may be restored to me. So the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him and became as before. Then the king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. Now, 2 minutes before, he was talking about arresting. And then that hand withered, and then he changed his tune, didn't he? That's why you don't mess with a child of God. Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. And as we go back into a life lesson for this word, 1 Kings chapter 13, 1, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord. A number of unnamed men of God populate the Bible. They are like most of us who serve God in anonymity. But God remembers both our works and our names and will reward all faithful service to him. Thank you, God, for family. And as we continue, it says, but the man of God said to the king, if you were to give me half your house, I would not go in with you, nor would I eat bread, nor drink water in this place. But so it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall not eat bread, nor drink water, nor return by the same way you came. So he went another way and did not return by the way he came to Bethel. Now an old prophet dwelt in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. Father, the words which he had spoken to the king. And their father said to them, which way did he go? For his sons had seen which way the man of God went who came from Judah. Then he said to his sons, saddle the donkey for me. So they saddled the donkey for him, and he rode on it and went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. Then he said to him, are you the man of God who came from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said to him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I cannot return with you nor go in with you. Neither can I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. For I have been told by the word of the Lord, you shall not eat bread nor drink water there nor return by going the way you came. He said to him, I too am a prophet, as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. He was lying to him. So understand, there are what we call proper liars. But God spoke to me and he said to you and said, don't do XYZ. God spoke to you, personally spoke to you and said, don't do XYZ. And then some prophet liar comes to you and says, well, God spoke to me and he said that you should do XYZ. Who are you, should you listen to? I do believe you should listen to the voice of God. What did God tell you to do? And not what the prophet liar told you. Been there, done that. Got lied to. Messed up because I listened to the prophet liar and not to what God had told me to do. So I say, if God tells you to do something, you do what God tells you to do. I don't care who comes to you talking about, well, God told me. No, I can only go by what God told me. Go by what God tells you. Not what somebody comes and tells you. God said. You know, I knew my calling. And I was told many times by others, which was confirmation. But I could not step into this calling until God told me to. You know, so many times folks want to pull you here and there and tell you what God said to them. You got to do what God says to you. Now, this prick, this prophet, yeah, he was a prophet, but he was prophet lying that day. And this is what it did, what happened. Now, you know, the man of God had already been told by God, don't go the same way. Don't eat, don't drink, don't do anything in this place. Keep it moving. In other words, move forward. Then the priest, the other prophet, he gets on his horse and he goes riding his donkey and rides after him. A lie. Two lies. And this is what happened. But he also was a test. God will test us with sometimes a prophet liar. He will test you to see, are you going to listen to this man or are you going to listen to me? Who, this day, who will you choose? Are you going to choose? Are you going to choose man? The prophet chose to listen to the prophet liar instead of to what God said do. And let's read the consequences of doing this. So he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. Now it happened as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back. And he cried out to the man of God who came from Judah, saying, thus says the Lord, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord and have not kept the commandment which the Lord your God commanded you. But you came back and ate bread and drank water in the place of which the Lord said to you, eat no bread, drink no water. Your corpse shall not come to the tomb of your fathers. So it was after he had eaten bread and after he had, that he saddled the donkey for him and the prophet whom he had brought back. When he was gone, Allah had met him on the road and killed him. And his corpse was thrown on the road, and the donkey stood by it. The lion also stood by the corpse. And their men passed by and saw the corpse thrown on the road, and the lion standing by the corpse. Then they went and told it to the city where the old prophet dwelt. Now when the prophet who had brought him back from the way and heard it, he said, "It is the man of God who was disobedient to the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord has delivered him to the lion which has torn him and killed him, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke to him." And he spoke to his son, saying, "Saddle the donkey for me." So they saddled it. Then he went and found the corpse thrown on the road, and the donkey and the lion standing by the corpse. The lion had not eaten the corpse nor torn the donkey. And the prophet looked up, took up the corpse of the man of God, laid it on the donkey, and brought it back. So the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. Then he laid the corpse in his own tomb, and they mourned over him, saying, "Alas, my brother." So it was, after he had buried him, that he spoke to his son, saying, "When I am dead, then bury me in the tomb where the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones." But the saint which cried out by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against all the shrines on the high places, which are in the cities of Samaria, will surely come to pass. After this event, Jeroboam did not turn from his evil ways. But again, he made priests from every class of people for the high places, whoever wished he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. And this thing was a sin of the house of Jeroboam, so as to exterminate and destroy it from the face of the earth. Now understand, the word of God has already told us that those that would be priests would be Levites. Everybody is not a Levite. Everybody is not called. Everybody is not chosen. You know, there are folks at the time, "Well, I know I'm a pastor. I know I'm a this. I know I'm a that." But were you called? Are you wanting to do it because you're looking, you're thinking, "Oh, it's glamorous," or "It's this," or "It's that," or "I can make money off of it." You have a whole lot of folks out there who are pastors and ministers and teachers and preachers, not because they love God, not because they've been given an assignment to teach the word or to preach the word or to shepherd a congregation. They are doing it for money. And the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And you wonder why all of a sudden you see all these different mega pastors falling. And when I say falling, they are falling. Then you have others committing suicide. You have all kind of stuff going on within the church because you have a whole lot of liars, cheaters, and men and women not called by God. And yeah, they making all kind of money because that's why they went into they took the job. It's not because they were called to do the job, not because they were assigned to do the job, but because they wanted to use the job to do what they wanted to do, create all kinds of evil. Did Jeroboam, he go make himself a priest? He had no right to do any of what he was doing. He was not called and he was not chosen. Because he was king, he felt he could do whatever he wanted to do. To be very careful when world leaders and leaders of anything start telling folks who they are. I appreciate my pastor understanding that I couldn't accept a higher calling until God told me to accept it. Until God, and it took me years. I was ordained to be that position. 2016, but I didn't accept it until a month of grace, until May of this year, because that's when God told me to accept, to follow God. We can't be like the prophet because somebody tells you, "Well, this is your this and that." We got to stop it. We can't tell anybody anything. God is the one that chooses who will be whatever. We can't keep restoring titles on folks. Because sometimes that's not what they're called to do. Well, I think he's an engineer. But maybe he's a librarian. Well, I think that she needs to be a teacher. Well, maybe she's supposed to be an engineer. My baby's going to be the next Tony Evans. Maybe he is not supposed to be Tony Evans. Maybe he's supposed to be a prophet. Maybe he's supposed to be an evangelist. Maybe he's just supposed to be a member of the congregation. We got to stop doing what we do. And I don't know where that's coming from, but that's from God. We can speak things into existence, yes, but we got to make sure that that is what God is wanting. We can't be like the old prophet telling a lie. We got to be like God telling the truth. And this is what the word of God says in life lesson for our last life lesson for chapter 13, verse 33. Jeroboam did not turn from his evil ways. Now you done withered your hand. You done saw the altar split in half. And you still choose to do wrong. And it says regret for the unpleasant consequences of sin does not equal repentance of the sin. He was often rebuked and hardened. His neck will suddenly be destroyed. Proverbs 29:1. He didn't learn. We got to learn from our mistakes. And some of us are still living in our mistakes. And still living with our mistakes. And this is what the word of God says in chapter 14 of 1 Kings. At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, became sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, please arise and disguise yourself that they may not recognize you as the wife of Jeroboam. And go to Shiloh. Indeed, Ajay, the prophet, is there, who told me that I would be king over this people. Also take with you 10 loaves, some cakes, and a jar of honey. And go to him. He will tell you what will become of the child. And Jeroboam's wife did so. She arose and went to Shiloh and came to the house of Ajay. But Ajay could not see, for his eyes were glazed by reason of his age. Now the Lord has said to Ajay, here is the wife of Jeroboam coming, asking you something about her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus you shall say to her, for it will be when she comes in that she will pretend to be another woman. And so it was when Ajay heard the sound of her footsteps as she came through the door, he said, come in, wife of Jeroboam. Why do you pretend to be another person? For I have been sent to you with bad news. Go tell Jeroboam, thus says the Lord God of Israel, because I exalted you from among the people and made you ruler over my people Israel and tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you, and yet you have not been as my servant David. You kept my commandments and who followed me only what was right in my eyes, but you have done more evil than all who were before you, for you have gone and made yourself other gods and molded images to provoke me to anger and have cast me behind your back. Therefore, behold, I will bring disaster on the house of Jeroboam and will cut off from Jeroboam every nail in Israel, bond and free. I will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam as one takes away refuge until it is all gone. The dog shall eat whoever belongs to Jeroboam and dies in this city, and the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the field, for the Lord has spoken. Arise, therefore, go to your own house. When your feet enter the city, the child shall die, and all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him, for he is the only one of Jerubim who shall come to the grave, because in him there is found something good toward the Lord God of Israel to the house of Jerubim. Moreover, the Lord will rise up for himself a king over Israel, who shall cut off the house of Jerubim. This is the day, even now, for the Lord will strike Israel as a reed is shaken in the water. He will uproot Israel from this good land which he gave to their fathers, and will scatter them beyond the river because they have made their wooden images, provoking the Lord to anger. And he will give Israel up because of the sins of Jerubim, who sinned and who made Israel sin. Then Jerubim's wife arose and departed and came to Tarzah. When she came to the threshold of the house, the child died, and they buried him. And all Israel mourned for him according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through his servant Ajai, the prophet. Now the rest of the acts of Jerubim, now how he made war, how he reigned, indeed they are written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Israel. The period that Jerubim reigned was 22 years. So he rested with his father. Then Nadab, his son, reigned in his place. And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king. He reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. His mother's name was Naamah, an Amoritess. Now Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they committed more than all that their fathers had done. But they also built for themselves high places, sacred pillars, and wooden images on every hill and under even green trees. And there were also perverted persons in the land. They did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. It happened in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerubim. And he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord, that the treasures of the king's house. He took away everything. He also took away all the gold shields which Solomon had made. Then King Rehoboam made bronze shields in their place and committed them to the hands of the captains of the guard who guarded the doorway of the king's house. And whenever the king entered the house of the Lord, the guards carried them, then brought them back into the guard room. Now the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And there was war between Rehoboam and Jerubim all their days. So Rehoboam rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. His mother's name was Naamah, an Amoritess. Then Abijam, his son, reigned in his place. Both kings, the first ones when it split, the 10 tribes which were with Jerubim that scattered. You remember they say the lost tribes of Israel? They were the ones that were with Jerubim, and they will be scattered. But Judah will too. But Judah will come back. Understand, God knows exactly what he's doing. There are so many of us out here who have no clue where we belong and who we belong to. But I tell you, one day, with DNA and all these things out there, everything that has been lost will be found. And this is what it says in our life lessons. And for those that are just joining this Moving Forward experience, that God has put in our hearts to read the words. And the word that God has given me to study and to read this year is a Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. I am coming out of the New King James Version, but I do have my King James Bible nearby that I can go back and forth King James for my King James readers. And so the life lesson for chapter 14 is this: disguise yourself that they may not recognize you as the wife of Jeroboam. Indeed, Ahijah the prophet is there because understanding Jeroboam knew that the prophet was going blind, basically. He probably had cataracts in that day and couldn't see it. It was a fog in front of his eyes. And so he figured he can't see you, so he won't know who you belong to. So you're going to go and you're going to tell this story and do this, and not understanding God sees and he lets his prophets see. And it says that Jeroboam recognized his own prophets as frauds and acknowledged Ahijah as a genuine article and yet refused to follow his counsel. He provides a clear illustration of Hosea 8, 2, and 3. No one can outmaneuver the Lord or deceive him. What human eyes cannot see, God sees with unmatched clarity. This is why we can trust him even when our way seems dark and uncertain. We can trust God in everything. Everything we can trust God. And as we continue in the word, it says, 1 Kings 14:13, in him there is found something good toward the Lord God of Israel. The Lord said he would take the life of the only one in Jeroboam's family who had any good in him. Why? Sometimes God takes the life of the righteous to spare them from evil. You know, and I had to come to that realization with the loss of people I have loved. And then when I think back, I realize they were so good. They were good people. My husband, good people. My mother-in-law, good people. My aunt, Janet, good people. And they all loved God. They all loved God. And I am grateful that God gave them to me in my life, even if it was for a season. I am grateful. It made me a better person. Wonderful word of God. Now we have our Proverbs and Psalms, and then we will be going, my King James readers, to King James. And it goes on to say in Psalm 69:16-21, hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies, and do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. That's a highlightable. That's Psalms chapter 69, verse 17 is a highlightable as well as 16. You know, 16, hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies. And I love the rest of it. It says, do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw near to my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies. But when we are in times of trouble, we got to call on the Lord. And we got to say, use his word. Do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. I'm speaking that when we are in trouble, we got to ask God to hear us speedily. Verse 19, you know my reproach, my shame, and my dishonor. My adversaries are all before you. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none. And for confidence, but I found none. There are times when we need somebody and can't find a soul. You call your mama, they not there. You call your sisters and your brothers, they not there. You call your best friends, they not there. The only thing and the only one you can call on is Jesus. And it goes on to tell us, they also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Do you not understand that is a prophetic word of the sacrifice of our Savior for us? And even Dr. Stanley says it too. He says in 69, Psalm 69, verse 21, they also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. The Roman soldiers crucified Jesus, entertained themselves by giving him wine mixed with gall to make it bitter. Later, others gave him wine vinegar to drink. And we saw that in Matthew chapter 27 through verse and 34 and verse 48. So God in his grace showed Jesus what lay ahead. Proverbs chapter 17, 23 through 24 says, a wicked man accepts a bribe behind the back to pervert the ways of justice. Wisdom is in the sight of him who has understanding, but the eyes of fools are on the ends of the earth. Understand, there are so many folks out there doing dirt. You're taking bribes, and I'm talking clergy. I'm not talking ordinary folks. I'm talking people of God. I'm talking politicians and all those that are supposed to be honest and law-abiding leaders and God-fearing leaders. They say whatever willow in the wind and whoever is paying their bills. And we got to call it like it is. There are those that will say they are against this or that. But in all honesty, they doing this or that. They have done this or that. But yet they'll tell you, oh, no, I'm against this and I'm against that. You know, the same politicians that tell you and the same clergy that tell you they're against abortion, paying for somebody to have one because they don't want their secret coming out. So just understand, there are liars out there. They will lie to your face. They will holler and hoop and lie like it ain't nobody's business. We got to trust God. Again, we trust God. We stand on his word. Our King James word, John chapter 12, verses 27 through 50. And it says this, now is my soul troubled? And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause, say unto this hour, by thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And that is our title for today. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. But he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of the light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. Understand, we are children of light. We got to walk in the light. the beautiful life. Come on, as the song says, of the blessings. We got to have the blessings of Jesus that are bright. We got to have that light shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Hallelujah. Jesus is the light of the world. And we got to stand in the light while we can, because darkness is coming. I choose light. I choose Jesus. Thank you, God, for your word this morning. And it says the cause of unbelief. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Elisha, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake. Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe because Elijah said, he had blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart. And he converted, and I should heal them. These things Elijah said, he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And we see it every day. You have people of God loving the praise of people more than God. They will do whatever man wants them to do instead of what thus says the Lord. I have a good shepherd who chooses to listen to God and not to what he said, she said, woo-woo said. She listens to the voice of God. Her husband, he listens to the voice of God. They are a man and wife that listens to the voice of God and choose God over everything. We got to learn to choose God over everything. I don't care what anybody tells you. You got to do what thus says the Lord. Because so many times we get caught up in he said, she said, instead of what God said. If God says move, you move. If God says go, you go. Whatever the Lord says, and I'm going to tell you, it's hard. Don't let anybody tell you it's easy to pack up and move and to do what God says do, because it's not. That's even including leaving your church. I love my church that I was in when God called me to the church I'm in now. I have been asked to elevate to a different position. I was praying on it because I couldn't accept it. Every time I wanted to say yes, God wouldn't let me say yes. He wouldn't let me say yes. And I didn't understand why. Because he was getting ready to move me. And I remember going to my current church at the time. It was in a storefront. It was in a small little building. Had its own name. The building had its name called Holy Ground. I went to that little church. I'm like, I know you're not sending me here. Now, I understand the church I was coming from was this big, beautiful church on the hill, shining all white and bright. Choir that was, praise team that was wonderful. You know, I got an opportunity to sing on the praise team. You know, I did all the things I thought I was wanting to do. But I knew I had been called, but I ran from it. And God took my husband. Because he said, I need your full attention. And it took me a long time to get to this place that I can say that without bawling, without crying. Because I had some serious conversations with God about why did he have to take my best friend. And God told me, why not? He was mine first. That's hard to hear. He was mine first. And when God called me to go to this church, I'm like, Lord, this little church. They don't even have a band. And God said, they don't need a band. They got me. And when you lift up the name of Jesus, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me, is what the Savior said. We got to lift up his name. And they lifted up the name of Jesus. My pastor lifted up the name of Jesus. And you know what? When I moved to that church, it wasn't in that building very long. Then we moved to another church. And God gave me a dream that says, you will be in a church on the hill. I'm like, I'm going back to my old church. And God said, no, this church will be a church on the hill. It will be a beacon of light. I didn't understand. When God told us to move and to buy our own church and not rent a church, but to buy a church, we were looking and God came past our direction. Everybody was telling her not to do it, though. You don't need to do that. You need to do X, Y, Z. And she said, I'm going to do what God said do. And when she did what God said do, I mean, when we talk about from July to August, she did what God said do. And by July, she did it. August, we was in our new church because she trusted God, because she did what God told her to do. Not what everybody else said, but what God said. And that's what we have to do. That's what I had to do. I had to do what God said do. And when God said move, I had to move. And I'm like, okay, God. He said, I'm getting ready to teach you some things. And believe me, they have been some hard lessons. But now understand every day that God will want you to depend on him. Sometimes we get caught up in depending on ourselves and on our resources and not on God and his resources, which are omnipotent. And the last thing that Jesus said in summary, so the summary of Jesus' claim, Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Even Jesus spoke what God told him to speak. Even Jesus did what our Father told him to do. He didn't take it upon himself to do his own thing. He did what his Father said do. We have to do what our Father says do. Don't be like the prophet, listening to the prophet liar just because he's old and you think he's wise. We got to listen to the voice of God. Trust in the Lord, family. Hallelujah. Jesus is the way. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And he has drawn us unto him. Trust God today, family. Know that you are covered by the blood of Jesus in your coming in and your going out. As God loves you, he loves you with every part of his being. Let us trust God today. Let us know that if Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Follow Jesus today. Follow the word of God today. Because even Jesus followed God's word. Even Jesus listened to the voice of God and followed it. And did what God says, the Lord, as Jesus said. One more time. for I have not spoken of myself, but Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. And that is all I have. So I speak what the Father has given me today, which is his word. Thank you so much for listening in this morning. May God watch over you. And as we say every day, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day, knowing that you are covered from the crowns of your head to the soles of your feet by the blood of Jesus. He has you, he loves you, and he wants the best for you. Be blessed, family. It is, as they are moving forward, it's a wrap. Have a blessed day. Why? Because it's time to go to work. So let's go to work for God today, family.